శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి. హరే కృష్ణ. సో ఫస్ట్ సిక్స్ చాప్టర్స్ ఆఫ్ భగవద్గీత హ్యాస్ బీన్ ప్రాపర్లీ అండర్స్టూడ్. డిడ్ ఎవ్రీబడి అండర్స్టాండ్ క్లియర్లీ ద ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్? Krishna is gradually bringing us to the platform of devotional service. Krishna dealt with two aspects, karma and jnana. And sometimes it seemed that Krishna is promoting karma. Sometimes it seemed like Krishna is promoting jnana. So Arjun felt confused. And Arjun said, look, I am confused. Tell me clearly what is to be done. And Krishna pointed out both actually lead to the same point. The karma is perfect when it is rendered for the pleasure of Krishna. And jnana is perfect when it is offered towards Krishna. So, in this way, Krishna is actually pointing out that there are two aspects leading to the same point. Two things, karma and jnana, both of them are leading to devotion. Karma, apparently Karmakanda, section of the Vedas, mean sacrifice and pious activities. And jnana means renunciation, austerities, etc. The karma just by itself is useless. Jnana by itself is useless, meaning jnana without Krishna, karma without Krishna is useless. No matter what, how much austerities and penances you perform, if it is not for Krishna, then you'll end up becoming a Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu performed great austerities, but what's the big deal? He was killed by Nrisimhadeva. And when he was here, he simply created disturbance for everybody else. Therefore, we have to understand what is the right action. The right action is action for the sake of Krishna. What is right knowledge? Knowledge for the sake of Krishna. So everything must be done for the sake of Krishna. That is the goal of life. Jat karosi, jadasnasi, jat juhasi, dadasi jat, jat tapushoshi konteya, tat kurusha madarpanam. You offer it to me. So this is the sum and substance of the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Okay? So everyone understood? Very good. So one thing I forgot, one aspect, very important aspect we forgot, at the first date I should have done that, is to introduce everybody to each other. We didn't do that. Should we do that? Okay, let's... No? Okay, how many for yes? How many for no? Okay. And do we need this one actually? I am sitting here. Prem Sankirtan, is that your idea?
No. Bhai said, come devoted to the background, I'll see you very clearly. So you're a little bit lower down.
Maybe you lift me up. Or I should learn to levitate. Okay. So yesterday we concluded the first six chapters, ending at Yoginam Opi Sarvesham Madgatenan Taratmanaha Shraddhavan Bhajate Jomam. Very good. It seems that all of you know this verse. So how many of you know this verse? Raise your hands. Okay, and how many of you don't know this verse? Okay. So those who don't, please try to memorize this verse. Is it important to memorize this verse? Is it difficult to memorize verses?
Long term it is.
Okay. Anyway, with a little bit of luck and a little bit of effort, it can happen. So, also I thought that today's class, from today, these seminars, it has been suggested that these seminars are for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours becomes a little too long. So what? Not long? Anyway, let me see how I fare. Because you all are in an advantageous position. You all are sitting down, listening, and you also have the liberty to fall asleep. Which I do not. Okay. Chapter 7 begins with So today we will do chapter 7. So what I'll do today, tentatively, basically, I'll continue this class for 1 hour. I thought of doing it for 45 minutes. Anyway, do it for 1 hour, and then I will give a break for 15 minutes, and then we'll continue for another 45 minutes. So this session will be for 2 hours. 1 hour, 15 minutes break, and next class 45 minutes. And so this chapter is known as the knowledge of the Absolute. This seventh chapter is the, from this seventh chapter begins the devotional service, bhakti aspect. The first six chapters are karma, second six chapters are bhakti, and third six chapters are jnana. So, less intelligent people tend to think that because jnana is the last, therefore jnana is the highest. Krishna is saying karma, then bhakti, and then jnana. So because jnana is the last, jnana tends to be the final conclusion or the highest conclusion, highest culmination of Bhagavad Gita. But that is not the fact. Just as the best things are kept in the middle, the most precious things are kept in the middle. You look at a locket, where is the most precious gem set? Look at a ring, where is the most precious gem set? In the middle. So, if you have some treasure, where do you keep it? Just in the open, or keep it in a safe? In the middle of a safe. Right? So similarly, the most important aspect of Bhagavad Gita has been kept in the middle. And that is bhakti. And it has been confirmed by Krishna time and time again. Just let's consider the first two verses of this seventh chapter, where Krishna is beginning to reveal the secrecy or the highest aspect of devotion. Krishna is saying, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Who is Bhagavan? What is the meaning of the word Bhagavan? Bhagavan means? The one who possesses six opulences. How many of you know the six opulences? Raise your hands. All the six opulences? Okay. Vrinda is consulting with her mother. So, okay, what's the first one, Vrinda?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, very good. It seems that you are into knowledge. Then?
Wealth.
Okay, you'll have a lot of it when you have knowledge. Then? Okay. For Vrinda's sake, Vrinda's mother will say it.
Fame.
Okay, Lavina?
Beauty.
And what is left?
Renunciation.
And?
Strength.
Power. Okay, power. So you got all six? Okay. So one who has them to an absolute extent, one who has them all, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How many of you know the verse that describes that? That describes that? Raise your hands, those who know. Okay, so when I am asking how many of you know, what do I want to imply? That is high time to memorize them. Alright? So are you going to memorize them?
Yes.
Okay. It says, Aisharjasya Samagrasya Virjasya Yashasya Shriya Jnana Vairagyaschaiva Shannang Iti Bhagangana. So that means, Aisharja means? Aisharja means wealth. Aisharja means wealth. Samagrasya means completely. Yeah, incomplete. Virjasya, strength. Yasha, yash,
fame.
Shri, beauty. Jnana,
knowledge.
Vairagya, renunciation. So, these six are known as bhaga. So when one has them, he is known as Bhagavan. So who is Bhagavan? Krishnastu Bhagavan. Does Krishna have these all opulences? Does anybody else have them?
No.
So who is Bhagavan?
Krishna.
Can anybody else be Bhagavan?
No.
Besides Krishna?
No.
Once somebody claimed that he is Bhagavan. So his follower went and told Prabhupada that such and such, this person, he was his follower actually. So he went and told Prabhupada that he says that he is Bhagavan. Then Prabhupada said, if he is Bhagavan, then ask him to lift the table and hold it for 7 minutes. He asked, why is that? He said, because Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and held it on his little finger for 7 days. So you go and ask your Bhagavan to do that for 7 minutes. And lift it first with one hand, and hold it for 7 minutes. That also with left hand. So he went and told that person. So he said, how is it possible? He said, that's what Swami said, that Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and held it for 7 days. So you at least hold it for 7 minutes. And he could see what kind of Bhagavan he is. So if somebody claims he is Bhagavan, then we can go through these points categorically. Do you have all the opulence? If you have all the fame, then why are you coming to meet asking for money? All these people, they are just Bhagavan, but they go with a begging bowl. Give me money. Right? Do you have all strength? Can you say you are omnipotent? Only Krishna can say that he is omnipotent. And when it comes to beauty, can you say that you have absolute beauty, you have all beauty? No. So this is the way these people become exposed by themselves. Only a group of unintelligent people follow them and believe that they are Bhagavan. But with us, we have a very clear understanding. Who is Bhagavan? Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Prabhupada never said, although Prabhupada had thousands of followers, lot more than any of those so-called Bhagavan, but Prabhupada never claimed himself to be Bhagavan. Prabhupada's presentation was, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And I am Krishna's humble servant. I am Krishna Das. I am servant of Krishna. My business is to glorify Krishna. My business is to serve Krishna. That was Prabhupada's attitude. And as Prabhupada's followers, we also learn to do that. And by doing that, we feel happy, those who are following us, they feel happy, and everybody makes spiritual advancement. The ultimate goal of spiritual life is to understand Krishna. So here, Krishna is saying, Maya Shakta Manah Partha Yogan Junjan Madashraya Asang Shayang Samagrang Mang Jatha Gyasasi Tachrinu. Tachrinu. Tachrinu, the word Srinu, the word is coming from the word Shravan. Shravan means to listen, and Srinu means listen carefully. Listen, Arjun, listen to me carefully. And then what is Krishna is saying? Mai Ashakta. Ashakta Mana means, Ashakta means attached and Mana means mind. Those who with their minds attached to Mai or me, those whose minds are attached to me, and Jogan Junjan Madashraya. With the process of yoga, they become Junjan, connected unto me, or Junjan here Prabhupada translates as practicing, Madashraya, in consciousness of me. Ashangshayam, without doubt. Samagrang Mang. Samagrang, you know the word, meaning of the word Samagram. Samagram means completely. Mang, Jatha Gyasasi, the way you will get to know me. You can know me, you will get to know me. Listen to that, try to hear me. So the meaning of this verse is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, now hear, O son of Pritha. Who is Pritha? Who is the son of Pritha? Therefore, Krishna is known as, Arjun is known as? Partha. Pritha's son is Partha. Maya Shakta Mana Partha. Why? Krishna is addressed as Partha Because he is the son of Pritha. And who is Pritha? Kunti Devi. Who is feeling generous today? Identify yourself. Priyavrata? So, Krishna is saying that, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Asaṃśayaṃ samagraṃ maṃ. So, the best way, the completely you will get to know me, one will be able to get to know me, Krishna is saying, how? When his mind becomes completely attached to me. Now Krishna, because he is saying about himself, he is speaking about himself, he is instructing about himself, Krishna is hesitating. Actually, what is Krishna telling? Can you imagine what Krishna, or can you assess what is Krishna saying in simple words? When does your mind become obsessed with somebody? Because of love. When you love somebody, what happens? Think about him all the time. So Krishna is hesitating to say, love me, love me. Krishna is therefore putting it in an indirect way. That when the mind becomes completely attached to me, fully absorbed in me, then he gets to know me without any doubt. So in simple words, what Krishna is saying, that when you love me, when one loves me, then only he gets to know me. Mind fully absorbed in me, in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full. So it is actually bhakti, therefore, at the very outset it has been established that bhakti is a love affair with Krishna. Bhakti means a love affair with Krishna. There are so many songs or poetry saying, I want to love somebody, or I love you, you love me. But actually, it is meant to be with Krishna only. I want to love somebody. Who do I want? Who I actually want to love? Krishna. Everybody wants to love somebody. Who everybody wants to love? Needs to love Krishna. And this point has been very clearly exemplified by the devotees of Krishna. They are simply in love with Krishna. They don't want anything else. They do not need anything else. Actually, many devotees have explained that point. Like for example, Billa Mangal Thakur has explained it very beautifully. Billa Mangal Thakur used to, in his previous life, he was a very degraded person. And he was extremely attached to one society girl, one prostitute. Her name was Chintamani. And when, actually those, I don't want to go into the details of that description, but when he approached Chintamani, Chintamani just made one simple point, that if you had this love for Krishna, your life would have been perfect. You've been attracted only this body made of flesh and blood, mucus and pus. But if that love was for Krishna, then your life would have been perfected. And obviously Chintamani was a devotee of Krishna. In India there had been many such instances. Somebody may be very degraded, even prostitutes were great devotees of Krishna. Right? And there are many instances these have been displayed. So obviously Chintamani was a devotee of Krishna. And Bindla Mangal Thakur in his prayer, he offered his obeisances glory and his gratitude to Chintamani. In his Krishna Karnamrita, then the first verse, he is actually glorifying Chintamani. Chintamani jayati gurur me, shiksha gurur me, shikhi pichcha moli. My guru, he is addressing his Bhatma Pradarshak guru. First guru is Chintamani. Chintamani jayati soma gurur gurur, soma giri gurur me. His initiating spiritual master was Somgiri. And shiksha gurur me shikhi pichcha moli. His shiksha guru is Krishna, the one who is wearing peacock feather on his head. Shikhi means a peacock, pichcha moli. Moli means holding on his head as a crown. So that actually turned Chintamani, Billa Mangal Thakur completely. He's changed his life. He became a devotee of Krishna. And he had become such an illustrious devotee. This another book is Krishna Karnamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered that book also from South India when he was traveling. Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita. These two books. He copied by his hand. And this Krishna Karnamrita is the highest development or expression of love for Krishna. And in this way we can consider that actually we all have some experience of love. Either love for our parents, love for our children, love for our beloved and so forth. But we can see all these love affairs in the material nature culminate into insignificant outcome. Like, and sometimes they end in a very bitter consequence. Like the other day, a person was describing about his love affair. When he was young, he came across one girl. And he thought she was the most beautiful person in the world. And he felt that to get her, to win her, is the only goal of his life. And then, in order to get acquainted to the girl, he befriended her brother. And through the brother, he had access to their home. And then he fell in love, or rather managed to... No, that was not that. The girl was in love with somebody else. So he wanted to become better than that person. And he did that. He became very successful. Then finally he married. After such an endeavor, he married this girl. But then, after a short while, the marriage fell apart. Like he made so much effort to win this girl, but in just a short while, they realized that they are not compatible to each other. They started to fight. At the beginning, he thought that he won't be able to survive without her. And now, he felt that to get rid of her. So, and then I pointed out to him that, can you imagine if you offered that love to Krishna, what would have happened? Like, see, all our love affairs in this material nature, what happens? It kind of that disappears. At some point, it just becomes meaningless, useless, of no consequence. Like, often, even if the love affair doesn't end in a bitter separation, but at least it would end at some point in a separation through death. In some point it would become meaningless in so many other ways. But that won't happen with our love with Krishna, love for Krishna. Like, no matter how beautiful the girl is, at some point she'll become old and ugly. And, or no matter how desirable she may have been, but at some point she'll become an unnecessary burden. And, but that will never happen with Krishna. Krishna will always remain as handsome as ever. Krishna will never fall sick. Krishna will never grow old. And on top of everything, Krishna can always give us all that we need. And He will never claim, He'll never demand anything from us. He'll be happy with just whatever we offer Him. Like this also another beautiful incident, when Krishna, Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, wanted to go with Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami told him, look, you have expensive habits. You are a prince and I'm just a beggar, so I won't be able to maintain you. He said, no, Krishna said, whatever you get, I'll be happy with that. He said, look, I just go once a week to Mathura, bake something, and that is how I maintain myself. He said, don't worry, I will be happy with whatever you cook for yourself. Then one day, Madan Gopal told Sanatan Goswami that, Sanatan, can't you give me some salt? Because you see, when you beg, you don't get salt. Nobody gives you salt. So Sanatan Goswami didn't get salt, so he couldn't offer salt in the preparation. He was taking without salt. So Madan Mohan asked him, can't you put some salt in it? So that reminds me, some people have a feeling that eating salt is bad. Krishna doesn't think that. It's a proof that Krishna loves salt. So much so that he told Sanatan Goswami, can't you put some salt? when you prepare some food without salt and offer it to Krishna, remember that. You may not put the salt in the preparation, but at least put some salt separately so that Krishna can add it according to his taste. So then Sanatana Goswami said, look, I told you, today you want salt, tomorrow you want sugar. So, and that night, the boat got stuck. One businessman was carrying his commodities in a boat, and the boat got stuck in the middle of River Jamuna. So this businessman came to Sanatana Goswami and asked him if he could help him to release the boat. So he asked, boat got stuck where? In Jamuna. He asked, what are you carrying in that boat? Because Sanatana Goswami knew that Jamuna is quite deep in the middle, so how the boat will get stuck? It's unusual. So he was surprised. So he said, I'm carrying salt. So Sanatana Goswami, he understood whose trick it was. So he said, look, I can't do anything about it. So you go to this person here, this boy, you go and ask him, maybe he can help you. So the businessman went and prayed to Madan Gopal, Madan Mohan, and his boat got released. And he made an offering. He told that the profit that I make from this transaction, I will offer that to you and build a temple for you. And when he went to the boat, he found not only the boat got released, but the salt has turned into camphor. And camphor is very expensive. So from that he made a lot of profit. And with that profit he built the Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan. And then he built another temple next to that, is the temple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the temple of Rasaraj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is how Krishna actually reciprocates the love of his devotee. Now, isn't it worthwhile to fall in love with a person like that? And that loving relationship can be of various types. It can be like the loving relationship between master and servant, the loving relationship between friends, loving relationship between father and children, father, mother and children, and loving relationship between lover and beloved. So, Krishna is actually proposing that one develops his loving relationship with him. And it is only due to that love, Krishna will reveal himself. We develop our love and in our hearts, Krishna will reveal himself. And jatha gyasyasi tachvina. The way you will understand me, the way you will know me completely, get to hear from me. Then Krishna is saying, jnanam te aham savijnanam idam baksham asheshataha jajgatva neha bhuya annaj gyatabhyam avashishyate. I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So vijnanam, jnanam and vijnanam. In simple words, jnanam means knowledge and vijnanam means realization. You will get to know me, and then in course of time that knowledge will become fully realized in the sense, first you will get to know me. And then you will develop a relationship with me. That knowledge, that knowing is the real knowing. And then Krishna is saying how rare this knowledge is. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit jatati siddhaye jatatam api siddhanam kaschin mang vetti tatpatam. Out of thousands of people, one rarely aspires for spiritual perfection. And those who have achieved perfection, out of them rarely get to know me. Can you imagine how difficult, how rare it is? It's so fine, it's a little slanting backwards, that's why it's kind of... Maybe, anyway, I'll tell you what to do. Manushyanang sahasreshu. Out of thousands and thousands of people, rarely one aspire for spiritual perfection. And does everybody who aspire for spiritual perfection achieve perfection? No, rarely one achieves perfection. And out of those perfected ones, rarely one gets to know Krishna as He is. Now the question may arise, then if it is that difficult, then how it became so easy to us? Is it difficult for us? No. It has become very easy. Why? Because Prabhupada made it easy for us. It's by Prabhupada's mercy. If Prabhupada didn't come, I tell you, none of us would have been here. None of us would have had any understanding of who Krishna is. Now you know who Krishna is? Huh? How many of you know who Krishna is? Raise your hand. Those who really know, raise both your hands. And say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare.
Very good. So how has that been possible? Because of Srila Prabhupada. Then what is this knowledge? Now Krishna is describing that. Now what is Krishna describing? That material nature and spiritual nature. Material nature, actually just to know about material nature is not enough. The knowledge is, real knowledge is to understand that beyond this material nature there is a spiritual reality. Those who do not know that, they are in ignorance. Bhumi rapo anolo bayu khang mano buddhi revacha ahankara ityang me bhinna prakritir ashtadha. This material nature, which is the separated energy of Krishna, bhinna prakriti, is composed of eight elements. They are earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. And aparyam itastanyam prakritiṃ viddhi me parān jīva bhūtāṁ mahābāho jajedāṁ dhāryate jagat. Now after describing this material nature, see what Krishna is doing? Krishna is saying that this material nature is inferior, but beyond this inferior material nature, there is a superior energy of mind, superior nature of mind. Prakritiṃ viddhi me parāṁ. Parā means superior. And jīva bhūtāṁ, living entities. Mahābāho, living entities are coming from that superior nature and they are exploiting this material nature or trying to enjoy this material nature, and they are sustaining this material nature. Besides this, that means beyond this material nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material nature, of this inferior nature. And etad yonini bhutani sarvan nityupadharaya aham krishnasya jagata prabhava pralayastatha. All created beings have their source in these two natures. All created beings have their source in these two natures. Of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. Prabhava pralaya statha. Prabhava means the source of manifestation. The source. And pralaya means annihilation. I am the cause of existence and I am also the cause of their dissolution. So then Krishna is saying, Matta paratarang nannat kinchid asti dhananjaya. Matta paratarang nannat. Matya means than me. Paratarang means superior. Na annat, there is nothing. There is nothing superior to me. Matta paratarang nannat kinchid asti dhananjaya. O dhananjaya, Arjuna, there is nothing superior to me. Which means, Krishna is declaring that he is the supreme. There is nothing superior to him. Now, are you going to believe Krishna's words or not? So we have to accept that Krishna is the supreme and nothing is superior to him. And mai tatam idam saprotam sutre manigana yatha. Manigana eva. That everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. The pearls are strung on a thread. What is actually holding the pearls together? The thread. Then Krishna is describing his presence in everything. Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashishur jayo pranava sarva vedesu khe paurushan nishu. O son of Kunti, I am the taste of water. So in this way Krishna is saying that everything is resting in him and he is the sustaining factor for everything. Everything is resting in him as pearls are strung on a thread. And how Krishna is presence in everything, Krishna is describing. Rasoham apsu konteya. That I am the taste of water. The light of the sun and the moon, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras, I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Are these the essence of these elements, these substances? When you drink water, what do we drink it for? For the taste. Sun and moon is there. What is the significance of sun and moon? Light. In mantra, there is pranav, the highest of the mantras. And in a man, what is desirable? What is admirable? His valor, his strength. So, ability, rather. Purushang, his ability. So these are the essence of these substances. And Krishna is saying that he is that. When we see ability in a man, what we should understand? It's Krishna in him. When we see that the rays of the sun and moon, the light of sun and moon, who is that? Krishna. When you drink water and get the taste, who is that? Krishna. So Prabhupada in this way pointed out that this is how we can see Krishna in everything. Krishna in everything. Sometimes people ask, did you see Krishna? But they do not know what it means to see Krishna. From this, a devotee gets to see Krishna all the time, at every step. When he is drinking, he is seeing Krishna in the taste. When he is seeing the sun, light of sun or moon, he is seeing Krishna. When he sees the ability in a man, he sees Krishna. Punno gandha prithibhyangcha tejas chashmi vibhavaso jivanam sarvavet sarvabhuteshu tapas chashmi tapasishu. So I'll just read this English verse, English translation. I am the original fragrance of the earth and I am the heat in fire. I am the life in all that lives. And I am the penances of all ascetics. O son of Pritha, know that I am the original seed of all existences, the intelligence of intelligent and the prowess of all powerful men. I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. O Lord of the Bharatas, Arjuna. Know that all states of being, be they be goodness, passion and ignorance, are manifested by my energy. I am in one sense everything, but I am independent. I am not under the modes of material nature, for they are, on the contrary, are within me. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So in this way, Krishna is now revealing his identity to Arjuna. Why? Why Krishna is revealing his identity to Arjuna? Because Arjuna is in love with Krishna. Krishna pointed out, bhakto asi me sakhacheti rahasyam hi etad uttamam. Because you are my devotee. Devotee means because you are my lover. And you are my friend. That's why I will reveal the secret unto you. Hare Krishna. So now we'll have a 15 minutes break. And then we'll resume again.